There was no burial plot log kept at this facility, as there is at most most penal facilities. There are burial plots that are kept that are easily identifiable where inmates are buried. This one, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to have one. People seem to be very scattered. If you look at the 31 crosses that were put up in recognition of the deaths there and look at the charts that have been presented, they're not in correlation to where the graves are. So we really have no idea where Thomas is buried, on the north side or the south side of the campus.
The Dozier School in the Florida Panhandle was open until 2011 after more than 100 years in operation. It closed after a 2009 investigation into abuse allegations.
This was a facility that was known to take abusive action first. It had, if you look at the DOJ reports from 2000, even to 2010, it shows the facility had a systemic problem in training, had a systemic problem in the way they dealt with children. They were instructed to use force as a last resort, and Dozier was specifically pointed out as using force as a first resort.
The Vernadeau family was granted an injunction in October, temporarily barring the sale of property at the south side of what used to be the Dozier campus. USF archaeological and anthropological researchers think it's likely that there's a second cemetery in that location, based on the fact that records show 81 reported deaths at the school. Antoinette Jackson, an anthropologist on the research team, said the prevalence of segregation during the time of the reported deaths also suggests the possibility of other burial sites.
And so one of the opening items or the open questions is there another cemetery? Because the cemetery that has been found was located really on what was called the black side or the north side of campus. So it's highly unlikely, or based on a lot of my other historical work during this period, that that was the only cemetery.
The research team calls the project restorative justice because it doesn't necessarily seek criminal charges against people involved in abuse at the Dozier School for Boys. Instead, the answers would give some much-needed closure to people whose family members went missing. Glenn Vernadeau just wants to find his uncle, Thomas Vernadeau's body, so he can bury his remains in a family plot. Vernadeau is anxious to find his uncle's body because his other uncle, Joseph Vernadeau, is the last living sibling who can offer DNA to identify the remains.
I was fearful that he would spend eternity under a parking lot or an apartment complex, and I don't think that's a proper burial for anyone. So my mission and our mission is to bring him home.
A group of former students at the school from the late 50s and early 60s, known as the White House Boys, have come forward with their own allegations. Robert Kaiser, author of a book, The White House Boys, An American Tragedy, said it was common for boys to be beaten until they were bloody.
They soaked me in Epsom salt for about a half an hour and then took me into what I considered to be surgery to remove my underwear. And many boys had that done. Your underwear were actually beaten into your skin.
Another founder of the White House Boys, Jerry Cooper, was sent to the school when he was 16 after running away from home and getting caught up in a police chase. Cooper has spoken out about abuse he not only endured but witnessed, and some of his retellings even involve boys dying. He said another 16-year-old named Edgar Elton was forced to play football in the sweltering summer heat, despite a parent's note informing school officials that he was medically unable.
Well, we're in that gym in July. It's so hot in there you couldn't even breathe, and we're running pass plays. Well, Edgar Elton went into a breathing attack. He collapsed right in front of me. I tried to help him up. Kidwell, who's still living, along with R.W. Hatton, called him every name in the book, get you so-and-so off that floor and get back on that floor.
Well, he had hold of his gun, too.
He grabbed a gun. He always carried a pistol. It was either 380 or 25. He wore a gray jacket. And he reached for his pistol as soon as I tried to go to them to tell them we have a problem here. And he made that boy, Tidwell, and Hatton made that boy get up and get back on his feet. He made one more run around that gym and he collapsed and died.
The USF research team still has a lot of work to do to answer questions about what happened all those years ago at Dozier and whether or not any more boys are buried there. Erin Kimmerly, who heads the team, is recommending further field work and excavation. She said right now it's difficult to tell if the number of possible graves represents how many people are actually buried.
We have a good picture and a good window into it, but it's limited as well. So, you know, could some of these anomalies actually be two burials next to one another, and what we're detecting is one large anomaly? Yeah, it could. And likewise, it could be that there's no remains in a burial shaft. I mean, we can't say what's there without looking.
During their research, the group didn't uncover any actual skeletal remains. Archaeologist Christian Wells said exhuming bodies may be an option at some point, but for now, the excavations deliberately avoided disturbing any human remains.
The excavations were very shallow, only about a foot deep. But after you get below the modern A horizon, the organic kind of humus horizon, you can see very clearly in the soil profile if a trench or a burial shaft had been excavated in antiquity. And so it was enough for us just to confirm the anomalies that we detected with a very shallow excavation.